Hello everyone, I greet you all wherever you are listening to this podcast. This is my first book. I'm gonna continue where I ended with my introduction, as I started to give you the table of content, and I'm gonna use my African English because I want most of you to understand, learn, be motivated, get some knowledge and some things from me concerning the term life. Though this is my own story, this is my reality, this is my life, this is my history, this is my future. The beginning of being who I am. Even though that those parts of my life where I ask myself, but God, why? Why did I have to go through all these difficulties at my age, the very young age, as if I was the one who chose to be here on earth? Well, I'm an African lady in South Africa, grew up in townships, so I'm gonna use the simple language to be so simple. There's nothing perfect than simplicity. So tune in with me. If I can explain myself why I'm talking about the language, I may say I'm not perfect with English because I will never use those bombastic words, not being so fluent. You know Africans, even if you go to Nigeria, you can understand their English. They understand each other. We sometimes laugh at their language because you know how it is with us blacks. But they understand each other when they are together. We end up even starting to learn and understand what each and every word of English they're trying to use or they are using. So I'm sure that also the South African English may be different comparing to other countries, especially for us that we went to township schools or village schools. So I started with my introduction on my first podcast, the table of content of this book. So I'm starting today with the introduction and see today where I can end up for today. Introduction. My name is Ngobile Peaceful Mkize. I am a young female, age 28. I was born in 19th December. I am an orphan with one son. His name is Lwandle Zubenathi Mseleku. He is 8 years old. In my life, I'm only left with my mother's family. I am independent and been like that since I matriculated. I was born in Ladysmith and grew up in Soweto, being raised by a stepfather who was from Mozambique. His name was Peter Hilario Ndaba. I had two brothers. Their names are Pedro Siabonga Ndaba and Sean Sibusiso Ndaba. I matriculated in the year 2009 and tried to further my studies by doing some little courses, such as call center, waitressing, with the help of strangers, people I was not related to. I also studied tourism and hospitality management at IQ Academy. At this present moment, I'm working in a guest house named Hofeld Guest House in Sandton. This job is the one that keeps me surviving though. Yeah, though it has not enough salary, but I'm thankful. I stay in Daveyton, in Ekurhuleni, in an informal settlement where I managed to work hard and bought a space or a piece of land, yeah, a yard, to build my own shack. As I realized that based on my salary, I can't forever live the life of renting a place and I will not manage to achieve most things in life. Now I'm having my own place where everyone is hoping and waiting to get RDP houses one day. If I can explain the person who I am, I will only tell you that I am the very smart girl according to myself as I look back to my life and battles I had experienced. I am an open-minded person. I am friendly. I like socializing a lot. I have a warm heart. I have love. I love all people of all nations and cultures, religions. I never discriminate as I am alive today because of people whom others, they call them foreigners. Yes, we call them foreigners. I am shy to people I first met, but I do try to chat to them in order to see if they are open and can talk back, and we can end up starting some good or funny conversations. Well, this is done because I'm used to it, as I work in an environment that I come across many different people of different cultures, so diverse. I come across people I never thought I would meet, and it is my duty to make them feel welcomed. So being the real person I am, the real person I am to them, I will give a way to people to feel free. I just give everything of me to make them feel special and welcomed as I'm working in a guest house. And yes, I am a human being just like anyone. I do have quiet moments too, where I can be angry or have a sad face. I can say I'm short-tempered and I fume inside when something makes me angry. To my peers, I even beat them. But well, I'm old now. I teach myself every day to learn to be calm if I get angry. I don't want to do things I will regret just because anger was driving me. But I know why and how I got this anger within me. This is coming from the life I grew up in and what the life did to me. Then I'm going to the third chapter. I hope you're still with me, following me. My mission to write this book, I'm writing this book to tell the world my stories, let people know who I am and what I have gone through in life. I believe I'm motivating people who are still suffering, while I'm still in the same situation too, so that I can give them strength. Well, there are those who are suffering very bad than I see myself suffering as I'm speaking to you right now. I believe that being motivated by a person who is not yet nothing in life or not yet successful, it's better than to be motivated by an already successful person. I sometimes give this example. Let's say we are both on fire and trapped there together. I will not let you cry and tell yourself that we will die in this fire. But I will tell you that be strong. Let's hold on in this fire. And this fire will end and we will make it to get out here. So you will be amazed of what I say because You see all these big flames around us, but still you will have hopes and strength and believe that we will make it because you are being told by a person who is feeling the same pain as you do. So that's better motivation. I prefer to be motivated by someone who is still on the same or similar level with me, with my level, than being motivated by the billionaire, the millionaires, of which when they're telling me their stories, I'm not even so sure if are they telling me the truth, that they did suffer before they are who they are. Yes, they are who are telling the truth. But in this world, you cannot trust every word from anyone. It's been years I wished to write my book. It was not my idea at first. At first, I was told by people I met, like in Texas or anywhere, as I said, that I lack socializing. When I tell you my stories, you can have some ideas to help me. Even when I met the people on the Texas, the malls, wherever I go, they will like listen and tell me that I can write a book of my own and tell other people about myself. From there, I started to have love of writing, but didn't know how to start and where to get help from to publish my book. I then started to search for agents that will help me. I found it difficult as they needed much money, so expensive, so that they can help me. I remember one company that I sent an email to. They called me and told me that I must send them the amount of $7,000 in order to start my book. I was not even working by that time. I never thought that it will be so expensive. But I never lost my hopes and my dreams. I was always there with myself in my mind and telling myself that one day I will be a writer. I will make it. I will be the author of my own book. Now as I'm starting it, and now I am a writer, it's because God was listening to me. My dreams was following me. I then met angels who are also writers too. I met them at my workplace, Hofeld House, and they were our guests. And as I am talking and free to them, as they were too, we then had conversation until we end up talking about myself, because they asked me questions. Because you can listen to a person, who is this person speaking? You will want to know more about me when I start to speak. Surely even now, if you don't know me, you wanna see me. So I met this man. He will have questions to ask me about me, and I will answer him. Well, I didn't know at first that him and his wife also, they are writers too. But I did notice the interest in them about my stories. And then they told me that they have an offer for me to write everything about me. And they gave me 400 rands, which was my tip of 200 rand, and the other to buy my books, describing books. This book is being written to them because of them. I really thank God for making me to meet them, and I thank them for being the people they are. All the caring they had towards me while they don't even know me. They made me feel special, and I'm committing myself to this work of writing to make them happy with me and be proud. This is my first opportunity I got, and I will make sure I hold it well with my both hands. This is the luck that most of people are wishing to have. So I have it. And it is like a treasure to me. And I have hopes that I will do it. I'll do well well with this book, and it will help me maybe. I may not know. There are boundaries in this life. This book can help me to better other people's life, while it will be helping me to improve and also achieve more with it, and also heal when I see people being motivated and learned from my stories. Peaceful Mobile Mkize, my birth history. In the years of 1974, the month of May, the 2nd, a woman who gave birth to me was born. Her name was Dumazile Membri Mkize. The year 1990, December 19, I was born and named Peaceful Mobile Mkize, also known as Queen. The queen name came from my surname, my father's surname, Queen Anna. So when I was a child, they would play with me, teasing me, and call me Queen, Queen Anna. Well, with my two real names, I do not know what they mean, but not what my mother meant. She never told me. If she named me with the name meaning something or best or anything, she never told me. Peaceful, it is clear. It means full of peace. So I don't know where was this peace. And Mobile is the Zulu name meaning to win. I also don't know what my mother was winning or won. But I told myself that she won me as her firstborn. My birth was successful and she had peace in her life, knowing that she is able to give birth and be a mother like other mothers out there. I was born in Ladysmith Hospital on a sunny Wednesday at 12 noon. My father, Silas Quinana from Petersburg, a baby by culture, he paid damages for me and bought a box full of my clothes as the infant clothes. He cared a lot, and I was happy to have him by me. I was told all these stories about being paid the damages by my grandmother, a mother to my mom, Regina Nani Wemagnene Mkize. Though my father did not finish all my damages payment, but he promised to finish, and they were happy for what he managed to pay and allowed him to pay again when he has raised money again. Another chapter, growing up. My mother told me how her name was so abusive to her. She would beat her mother. So my grandmother, she would beat up my mom as if she was not her child sometimes. She would call old boys in the hood to go hold her and beat my mom so bad. So the life was not good to her until she managed to escape and went to Johannesburg. She had no choice but to leave me behind. I remember the day she left me. Maybe I was 6 years old, if not five. My grandmother was not at home that day. So my mother gave me some hot, nice bath and dressed me with a powder blue short dress that I really liked. And she put me in my bedroom, which used to be her own bedroom. And she put me some nail polish. It was red in color. I remember very well. And she gave me so many coins which I couldn't even hold with my both small, tiny hands. And I was very happy. And she waited for me to sleep. And that is how she got a chance to escape. I wake up and cried, not seeing her. I searched in the whole house, the whole yard. Well, I don't know how I forgot. And my grandmother was now there for me. She raised me very well. She really loved me. Of course, she was supposed to give me all that love, because I was her first grandchild ever. She did give me motherly love though. I don't know how. I never managed to call her mom as I grew up on her hands. I didn't experience anything bad for being raised by my grandmother and being separated with my mother. It really didn't affect me. I don't know how they reconnected again and fixed things, because they were now talking to each other, and my mother will send some parcels at home and write letters because there were no cell phones. I was attending a daycare in the area called Kwamapumulo. I was very smart then and would participate in all things. My grandmother was surviving by selling milk, cow milk, and sometimes she would work in the community where they were fixing roads, placing waters, the potholes, the taps in the area. And we had fruit trees at home. Sometimes she would make money by selling the fruits. I remember the fruits. She had the grapes. Yes, and the grapes, is it a vine? Yes, the vine trees, raspberry trees, apricot trees, and plenty of peaches. And we also grew mealies in the yard. So, well, I never went to bed with an empty stomach. We were surviving though. I was still young and never noticed if we did have some difficulties, but to me, all was well. Until days passed by. On my mother asked me the day, and my grandmother, that she wants me to come and start my first grade in Johannesburg. She accepted. Then I was supposed to relocate at the age of 8 years. I then waited for my mother to come and fetch me. I was very excited that I will not now live with my grandmother. It was 1998 when I started to stay with my mother. I remember the day I first came to Johannesburg. My mother was staying in a shack with my stepfather, Peter Hilario Ndaba, in the township called Orlando East. The house number where my parents were renting there was number 2453. I remember the day I first came there. It was late, maybe around 7 p.m. when my stepdad came in, and this man was a total stranger in my life. I was very shy and with respect. I was sitting behind the door and there was no electricity that day. This man came straight to me where I was sitting while my mother was preparing food for tonight. He came and greeted me and asked me my name. I told him my name, and he asked me, am I okay? I said, yes, I am okay. And he also told me his name, and he said his name was Baba, which is a Zulu name for father. And I can recall the smile he had on his face and all the joy he had to meet me. Well, this was my first time to see a man I can call dad or my father. Since I was born, I never got that chance to call someone as my father. Though it was not explained to me that he was not my biological father at that moment. Well, life continued, and I'm not so sure if I came around January or other months. But what I know, I never stayed at home. I went to school. My mother took me to a new school called Tembalihle Primary School in Orlando East, where I started my first grade. I remember I didn't have school uniform. I used to wear a jean dress with white long sleeve t-shirt. My mother will take me to school in the morning, and she will also fetch me during lunchtime and take me back again. And also in after school, she will come and get me there, as we were very close with the school. Until I was able to go alone, then my mother stopped to fetch me and sending me to school. I was now having a school uniform. My teacher who opened my eyes, who made me realize that I am smart even today, her name was Mrs. Sangweni. She taught me for 3 years, and she really ordered me to be the person I was with my books, and she loved me so much. I was her best student in all. I wouldn't disappoint her. Then I went to my fourth grade, and my teacher was Umem Kaka. She also liked me as I was one of her best students again in her class. I can say almost my teachers, they liked me just for being a smart kid. Just for being a good student, I was very smart and marvelous. Primary school days were very best in my life, where teachers were taking care and parents showing love every time. In my life as an adult, I do miss those days now. There is no one caring for me. Well, that is life. We have stages to go through, and some situations come to our lives to help us to grow old and matured in life. And for me, all these things I came across, they did help me to learn life, and I do face all difficulties. At primary school, I did well with my studies, and I was passing all my grades every time. School closes, I will not come home with my empty hands or carrying my report only. I'll come with my report written pass, but also with some certificates of subjects that I was best on among all other children. And my mother will be so happy for me and buy me new clothes and all what I asked for. I would always make sure that I make my parents happy. I go to another chapter, being raised by a stepfather. Well, when we come to this stepfather thing, my heart is filled with joy. Being raised by a stepfather, to me, was so different, because I knew that I was supposed to have a father. But I never knew that he was not my father, but he was my stepdad. To me, he was just my real father. Well, this is supported by love and care he gave me. Well, I'll just start with this number 11 chapter, being raised by a stepfather. Well, when we came to this stepfather thing, my heart is filled with joy and love, so much happiness. Being raised by a stepfather to me was so different, because I never knew that he was my stepfather. To me, he was just my real father. Well, this is supported by love and care he gave me. He treated me as his own daughter. He did everything for me. All I wanted, he did provide. So yes, it was difficult for anyone, including me, to see that he was not my father. Peter Hilarondava gave me all the fatherly love, the love a father could for his daughter. And when I came into his life, he didn't have any children, any kid. I was his firstborn. And he did show that. He also wanted to have his own child that will be a boy, because all my toys were boys' toys. I was playing with toy cars, bicycles and balls. I owned few girls' toys. So with that, it shows that he had loved to have a son one day. With school things that were needed, he made sure I was the first to have, even with school trips, I was the first to pay for the trips. I remember one trip that was going to the Johannesburg Zoo. It was when he was not having money, he was not paid. So he couldn't manage to pay for me, and I never went to the zoo with my school. That trip was on Friday, and he did manage to close that gap. And he did manage to close that pain any kid could have. In my heart then, he took me to the zoo on the Saturday, the next day. I went with him. I have nice time there. He even took me to the restaurant, and the food we had there was so delicious, which included some lettuce. And I grabbed it by my hands, and he felt embarrassed and kicked me under the table and looked at my eyes with a huge smile and told me to use my fork well. That was a joke to him. He laughed at me and even told my mother when we get back home. They both laughed at me. I was a joke of a day. On a Monday when I went to school, I was so happy and couldn't wait to tell my friends that, well, I was there. I went to the very same place they visited. So when other kids started to talk about all stuff they saw yesterday, the animals at the zoo, the games they played, I would also say something that I saw something. I saw the very same thing as you saw. Some were very amazed on how come? How come we are talking about some things? We are talking about same things which they paid money and went to a school bus, with a school bus to see. I told them that my father took me there. I felt so special and happy. I didn't feel left out from all other kids who went to the trip. My father never treated me bad. He did shout at me. It was necessary, like any father will do. He never pitied me at all. Instead, he was the one protecting me from my mom when she wants to beat me. Because my mother was very strict and took no nonsense, while she was not being unfair but showing love and teaching me to be a better respecting child. My stepfather was the best father ever in my life, and to my mom too, because it is rare to find a man who will raise your child as his own. My mom was also a lucky woman to have such a man. My stepfather gave me all a father can. He never discriminated me when he had his own children. He kept on giving me the same love that he gave me while I was still the only child in the house. May the Lord bless his good soul. I loved him very much. Even today, I still cherish his presence in my life. And he didn't only show love to me. He also loved my mother and my mother's family. He took care of everyone. He was the best brother-in-law ever. Even today, everybody remembers his love and all the good work he did for them. My mother was not employed anywhere, but he gave her money to send at home to her mom. Mostly on the school holidays, they will send money for my two aunties, which are younger sisters to my mother, to come and visit us in Soweto. When they go back, they will have
some new clothes with them, school uniforms. Even when they're going out to school trips, my father will pay for them. My other late uncle, Mbongiseni Mkhize, really adored his brother-in-law. He would always talk about him. Until he died, my father gave a hand to his funeral arrangements. Well, I also loved that uncle of mine. It's a pity he left no child for us to remember him with. Only the goods are taken so early. My father also helped my second uncle, Bonginkosi Eric Mkhize, a lot in his times of suffering, the times when he was not employed and had no shelter in Johannesburg. He even gave him his clothes to wear, and he once stayed with my mom and father in one house because he had nowhere to stay. Until my father talked to his other friends, Pedro, who was staying alone, to please take my uncle and stay with him. And they also got him a space in the construction company. And he was now working. Then time goes on, and my uncle was now not staying with Pedro. I don't know where he went, but life was like getting more better for him. Then he was able to have his own place he rented. Then there was a time when he got sick, and my father was still there for him, taking him up and down to hospitals. He was very sick, that he was very thin. Even people started to spread the rumors that he was HIV positive, suffering from the disease. Well, he was not. He was so sick because he had a calling to be a prophecy and a traditional healer. So he was on that stage that he was going under a difficult situation where his body was accepting those spiritual spirits. So they took him to a woman in his church, Jericho Christian Church, a church for Zions. That woman then determined my uncle's situation. As it is between life and death, he must answer his calling to get better. And yes, my uncle accepted, and the woman took him and she trained him. He stayed at this woman's place in KwaMhlabuyalingana. And he did well with his training. And the following year, he was brought back home. That was the year 2002. It was a big celebration at home. There were churches invited. His church was there to accompany him. It was very nice. And during that day, my older uncle Mbongiseni was so sick in a hospital that he wanted to see his brother for the last time before he can die. That's what he said. Well, as he was very sick, they couldn't take him out from the hospital. And after Bonginkosi's coming back celebration, that ceremony, my older uncle died in hospital. Well, it was very sad. After we were just happy yesterday, then today we got so sad. Now we are crying. Bad news now. My father was also there supporting Mbongiseni, and he was there again for Mbongiseni's funeral. Well, my father was such a great man indeed. He cared for my mother's family as if they were his own blood too. He did all that because he really loved my mother. I don't know why they both had some bad days where they would fight, but well, it's all part of life. I wish I can get an opportunity to go and see my father's grave and tell him how much I appreciate all he has done for me and every love he gave me. Welcome to this chapter now.
finding out about my biological father.
All my life as a child, I only knew that Peter Hilarundava was my father, as I was staying with him since my first grade, and he was the only one I called my father. And he was the only one showing me love of a father could do or show to his child. No one told me anything that he was not my stepfather, and he never did anything or said anything that made me to think he was not my father. Things like treating me bad, beating me up, mistreating me. He never did such anything to me. My mother never told me anything either. So this is how I found out that he was not my father. At school, I had a best friend called Onompumele Nomkhwanazi. Her mom was my mother's friend, very long time friends. So we also started to make our own friendship as we see our mothers together most of the times. Sometimes I will go with my mom to visit Nompumelelo's mother in her shack around the area where we stayed. And sometimes they will both come and visit us. So we will go outside and play as any kids could. That is how we started to be friends. And we went to same school. Nompumelelo's mother was Umabusi Zondi from Enqutu. They were very close with my mother. Even when my mother had arguments with my father, she would go to Umabusi or Busiwe Mlambo, another friend, which they knew each other back from home in Menambiti, KZN. Actually, Busiwe was the one who introduced my mother to Umabusi, and they all became friends, the big three. So one day in school, I remember we were not at a secondary school at Joprathebe, junior secondary school. It was like the coming year. Nompumelelo came to school, said, I asked her, oh, she was so crying, like you can see her face. Then I asked her, my friend, what's wrong? She then started to cry out loud again. I also felt the pain, and I felt the pain in her heart. And my eyes were full of tears too. And I then begged her to tell me what was wrong, and she kept on crying again. She then started to wipe her tears and start to tell me that her father that I know, he is not treating her so good or very nice. She said the previous night he came home with some oranges and he gave all his other children beside her. And I stopped her and asked, what are you meaning when you said he gave all his other children the oranges? What about you? She told me that, wait for me to finish. I was very shocked to hear that. And my friend continued and explained that she is aware that she is not, that the father is not a real father. She knows her own biological father. Then this thing started to go deeper now. The thing is that they are separated with her mother. Then as her friend, I really felt the pain too. And I told her not to worry and stress. She must stop crying. All things will be fine for her. She then stopped me while I was giving a shoulder for her to cry on. She stopped me with a smile and said to me, don't feel bad for me, because even Peter, he is not your biological father. Yes, those were the words from Nompumelelo. She even called my father by a name. Well, so disrespectful. I was so very angry for her. I told her that No, that's a lie. That is my only father. And I didn't want to hear anything she said about that. She even added that I must go and ask my mother. She will tell me. Because she is now telling me what she had heard, she heard my mother saying and talking about with her mother one of the other days when she was around in her house. So she overheard them talking about that. Well, I felt so bad. But to her, I just acted as if I didn't felt any pain. And at the end, I believed she was lying. Days went on. This thing started to hurt me and disturbing me in my mind every time, every day. I see my father. I would look at him and look at myself in the mirror and find out I do have his resemblance. He is my real father. I have resemblance here. I can see them. There's some genes here, some features here. And some people will even tell me that I look exactly like my father. I wished to ask my mother, but I was so very scared as she was not an easy person to talk anything, especially such things. But I tried all my best and became brave. And I asked her as we were busy cleaning the house, I just popped back the question just like that. I popped the question out with my small, polite, tiny voice. And I said, Mom, is Dad not my real father? And my heart started to pump and beat faster and faster. I was scared she would beat at me. She would tell me nonsense to get away. I couldn't even look at her in her face. I can't even say what reaction she made after hearing my question. I only saw her putting down the dusting cloth and sat down. And she called me with a calm voice and said to me, come and sit next to me. I did so. She asked me, where did I get that from? I told her, Nompumelelo told me. She asked, what were we two talking about until we reached such thing? I told her that Nompumelelo came to school very sad, and when I asked her, she cried and told me that her father is not treating her good or equal to her sisters and brothers, and that he is not even her biological father. Then I told her it will be fine. I tried to stop her from crying now, tried to wipe her tears, and she stopped me and told me that I must not feel pity for her because also my father, he's not my real father. Then my mother started to be angry then. She was fuming and sad. And she just said, Nompumelelo, she's such a rotten, disrespecting child I ever had in my life. She will let her mother know. Then my mom told me that she's gonna let my Nompumelelo's mother to know what Nompumelelo said to me. And she said Nompumelelo was talking things of which are not her business. And this thing of young children to sit with older people while they're talking elderly things, and she will listen. She hates her as from today. Then she calmed down and started to explain the truth to me. She said, yes, Peter is not your biological father. Your father is Silas Quinana. And as I'm telling you this, I don't mean you must disrespect your father in this house. And do not tell him about this. Yes, I did all she said. She told me all this because she trusted me and knew that I would do exactly what she's telling me. She then continued and explained that my father really and her, they never broke up. They never dumped each other. They just lost contact. She said This is what happened. Your father was working in a leather company. So, by the time I was born, he only saw me when I was 2 weeks old, and he never saw me again until today. So, in that company, their employer found out that some of the staff were stealing some products in their factory. So, the manager invited the group of police to come and search from there in the staff rooms, as some were staying inside, they were staying in. And during that process of the police and searching, some workers ran away. They ran away different places. Some they were caught and detained. So my father was in the group of those who ran away. So that is how they lost contact. And she never knew all this until when she was sending letters to him. They were being sent and returned back to her, which shows that the person who was being sent a letter to is no longer staying in that address. But the last letter came from Ronnie, who was a friend to my biological father. And he knew my mother. He was the one who told my mother everything that happened in the factory. So she also tried her best to find him, and she was not so lucky. And she had to continue with her life. And that is how he had ended up meeting my stepfather, the one that I had. And he loved her with me. And he was the one who wanted me to come and stay with them since when I was 8 years old. And then she told me that it's their story. It's a long story, and I did not understand it all when she was trying to tell me this story. I was okay with it, but deep in my heart, I didn't want to even take it or believe it. All my mother told me. My friend told me this, and now my mother, she's telling me this. So I told myself, I'm not listening to anyone. I kept on telling myself that Peter is my father, the one and the only father. And I kept on respecting him as normal. And that thing of being told about him not being my biological father, it never even lasted in my mind and heart for days. I just forget it about maybe 2 days. And life went on. Everything was normal. And I know that my father told me not to tell, my mother told me not to tell my father about this. But she did told him in private, because I know the couples. She told him that I now know that he is not my father. Well, I believe she was supposed to tell him, because she couldn't tell if I would start to change my behavior or do bad things, knowing that now I know he's not my father. But well, I was still a good girl, still respecting girl. I never did any of those bad things. I even asked myself, if I try to do bad things and turn my back for my stepfather in this house, where will I get my biological father from? Because my mother, she even explained that she doesn't know where he is.
Difficulties of growing up with the parents who were in the relationship, which you can call it toxic, abusive. My parents were the very couple ever as they were always together from the beginning, when my father was not even employed. That was not so easy, but my mother was always there for him, until God remembered him and blessed my father with some job. Then life started to be better. I would hear my mother telling my father that he got him with one trouser and one t-shirt. They slept on empty stomach every day. Sometimes my mom will cook some porridge and fry only onions, and then they will eat and go to bed. But today he is now able to put bread on the table. He forgets old days and he's now treating her bad. My mother will say all this when they are having an argument or a fight. They never fight for anything besides the cheating of my father. He was a cheater. Then my mother will find out and she will fight. I don't blame her for fighting. She was being hurt thinking of all those hard times, all those years she was there for him, being the woman for him. Then when things are better, some woman will just come and snatch him. She was trying not to lose her man. But she didn't see that she was being abused, and she could die for that, as my father was beating her brutally, and that was not a healthy life at all. And she kept on staying in that relationship. She didn't want to be a loser. And on my understanding, as I have grown up right now, I think my mother stayed in that that kind of a relationship, doing it for us, as she was not working and she had nowhere to go. So she sacrificed all her life for us. Because if she was not depending on him, she wouldn't have stayed there. She would have left long ago. But bad things about her, they are fighting. They fought in front of us. They never thought that it may affect us as children. My mother ending up being a very dangerous woman in the place, and she would fight and beat even old men who would try to stop her. She would only become down by the police. Each and every month they will have a fight, and my father really liked cheating, but there was no day he wouldn't sleep at home. They couldn't even solve their problems together like anyone could. They were going to invite some elders to come and help them solve their problems. Then from it will be sorted and solved. Then things will get back to normal, only for a few days. And happiness will be there in your house for only few weeks. Then another fight will come. Finding out my mother caught that my father is cheating with another new girl, not the one they used to had a fight over the last time. If my mother managed to trace the girl, she will make sure that she finds her and beats her, and that will always put her in jail. She'll never lose any girl cheating with my father. She will make sure that she's gonna research, make a research and get the whole information about that person or that girl. She never thought for us because anger was controlling her. They had many fights in front of us. Sometimes it will be at night and it will, and we will stay in the corner, in one corner there, me and my brothers, Pedro and Sean. And we used to cry and scream, trying to tell them to stop. But they don't mind our crying. They're just minding their fight. As the grown-up child in the house, I then started to protect my brothers during the fight. I would just close the curtain that was dividing the shack into a bedroom and a kitchen. This curtain my mom will fold it in the morning and open it at night to make privacy for them in the bedside. And we were sleeping in the kitchen on the floor near a single sponge. So I got this idea to just open this curtain and make them to be on the other side so they can fight. Well, without us seeing what they were doing to each other, it was better because we're not seeing, we just hear the noise. It was because we were now tired and getting used to this. It was like a sport now, it's a hobby in the house. So we get to the point of not crying because nobody would care if we cry or not. As I tried to separate the shack, I would just play with my brothers, make all those funny things and games they like the most, and will also not focus on what is happening behind the long curtain. And on my first day doing that, I heard their voices going down to silent, and they stopped fighting. Well, I was glad they noticed that we are so fed up with their bad habit. And well, that didn't make me so happy though. But it didn't affect me much and stop me from fighting at all times. But I made them to come up with another idea too. That they take us to my father's car outside and tell us, they will call us, we must not go outside the car until the fight is ended or until someone comes and call us there. Well, that was also better than to see them or hear them using strong language in our presence. And when they are done beating each other, one of them will come and call us and lock the car and will go in and sleep. Then I was the older one. Once I see them, that they want to start their game again, I will just grab my father's car keys and call my brother's bedroom and pick up Sean, as he was very young, couldn't even stand, and I will open a car and we get inside and play. And yes, they will continue their sport, their funny game, if it's funny, inside the house. And we could hear noise, and when they are done, they will come as usual and fetch us. So this was our normal life now. We started not to care at all, though our hearts were hurt, but had no choice than to accept kind of other lifestyles. There is one fight I can't forget even today. If I go visit people I grew up in front of them, that place, they will talk about the fight. Now today it's like a joke, and they make it funny. Well, it's very funny now, but it was not funny when it was happening. This is what happened. There was a girl named Bulungile. She was younger than my mother. She had an affair with my father. So one day my mother found out about her and she traced her address. And she went to her place and beat her up and broke everything in her room. Some neighbors, they tried to stop my mother, and it was a group of men. My mother also beat them all, and no one tried or managed to come closer to her, but Lumile managed to escape and called my father using someone's phone and told my father that his wife is there beating her. And my father responded and said, okay, call the police to arrest her. And Lumile did so, and the police came and detained my mother. Then my mother will call my father and told him, you see now, your girlfriend is now arresting me now. You call the police here. And my father responded and said, well, don't worry, I will bail you as soon as I get home. Lord. Well, that's funny today. My father
didn't have a choice and didn't know what to do. There was another father, didn't see how it started, but when I remember, we slept with in a polystyrene cells on the bench with our mother. She didn't want to go back to my father's house. What I liked about my mother, she was never so stupid to leave her children behind. She preferred to suffer with us. Though she was not aware, we were not supposed to experience all those hard things made by them, but I salute her. Other women would just run away and leave all the children with that abusive man. Nobody was a drunkard between them. And yet, their lifestyle was very similar to the drinking couple, if you can see the things they were doing. I thank God they were not drunkards. Surely they will kill each other if they were. Well, to me, that time during those fightings, life of my parents didn't affect me in any way because I managed to do well at school and I was playing very well with other kids. You couldn't see any sign of being traumatized or abused, being affected. I was just good as my brothers too were also doing very fine. But for me, when I grew up now, I started to experience. It took me so long for all the traumas to play their part in my life. So I grew up experiencing. I took good care of my brothers and leave my parents to fight. So being in the abusive relationship of your parents, to me it was a seed planted in my mind and heart as it is growing as I'm growing older. It's now growing into a very bad flower and it has started blossoming in my life. I never wanted to talk about it for many years. It will never work for me even to my own relationships as I'm now matured. One last fight my parents had was when they decided to stay in separate and they will just meet, and my father was supposed to come and visit us. So my father had to leave us in the shack and went to rent a house in Poslorash. Well, they were trying to do better things now this time. But love is love. That was so difficult for them to stay separate. I don't know when they fixed their thing, but I just heard that today we were moving out to this place. We're going to stay in my father's new place in Poslorash. Well, we did pack everything and went there. This fight changed our lives to better this time, as we have to move out from a shack and stay in a five-room house with a bathroom. We're happy to have our own bedroom as children, since we used to sleep on the floor. Since from there, they never had any fights. Life was now getting better every day. Though now I had no way to go and see them now. Then now I had to travel from Poslorash to Orlando East Soweto, as we moved in the middle of the year. I couldn't change school. So every morning I was traveling with my father. He would drop me where we used to stay and I would wait for school time to go to school because we arrived in Soweto very early in the morning. Also, life was nice for me as my father would give me 100 rands every day to use for transport and my lunch. As he was not picking me up after school, I used taxis to go back home. I always have money at school and I even learned from other kids was a loan shark and I will just buy food for those who don't have money.
I was very caring. I would even prefer to take my own school uniform and give those who had nothing to wear, especially jersey, and mother would get crazy that I lost my jersey, but I never cared. If she shouted me or beat me, my heart was so relieved that I helped someone whose parents can't afford, but mine will shout and beat me, but they will still buy me new ones. Well, those are other days I can't forget. Fighting off my parents ended up making us to live a better life. We only stayed a year renting that house. In that area, my other uncle from extended family was staying near us, Makawe Mkize, and his wife Busisiwe Makubane, and my cousins Zama Mlungisi, Sandile Ndo, and Samgelo. So we also got an opportunity to reunite and know each other well as a family now. Life was nice until my uncle Makawe helped my father with the information of an RTP house which was for sale near the street. Then luckily my father liked it and managed to pay for it. I may not be so sure, but I think I heard them talking about its cost that was around 40,000. It was just a normal RTP house, but not very decent to stay young people as my parents at that age. But my father was a tiler and a construction employee there, builder, and also he had his own construction company by then. He renovated the house and we moved in, and there, and he continued to fix other things while we were already staying inside the house, like paintings and putting tiles on the floors, building garages, and he was owning four cars. A red BMW 325i, a white Ford Buggy, his first car, the Buggy, then Mazda Opel. And his last new car was Toyota Hilux. It was the brand new car, the newest model of that time. The house was very stunning and more beautiful to be located in that kind of an undeveloped township. People would come over and take pictures, some would ask to see inside, and my father would tell us never to allow anyone to enter the house when they are not home. But sad, they both didn't stay longer in their new own home. God remembered them and called them back to him so early. Hello. In this chapter, my mother's dead. This is the chapter now. As we were just arriving to that new house in the middle of the year 2005, my mother started to get sick around December, and her sickness only lasted for only 2 weeks. It was a Sunday night. She was from the outside toilet. She never liked to use the toilet inside the house at night. She just screamed outside there. My father went out very fast, also scared, and wanted to see why she was screaming. She then told my dad that she can't see with her one right eye. The one eye now is blind. And the boat came inside the house and we were all standing on our feet scared too, and she kept on crying and explained that as she was sitting on the toilet seat, she felt something covering her eye. And when she looked in that toilet she slightly opened the door to see the outside light in the kitchen, the backlight, and she saw the light only with the left eye. And when she closes the left eye with her hand and tried to look with the right eye, she saw now lights. That's when she started screaming. When she slept that night, and my father took her to the
doctor. The next morning, and the doctor said it may be stress that created a blood clot to cover her eye, and gave her some tablets to reduce the stress and the pains and all those other medicines. It never helped at all. Instead, things went worse. She now stopped to eat and felt pain all over her body, and my father was at work most days. We were just alone with her. She told me to go and queue for her at the surgery, and I must first go and call my father's cousin Pedro from the back street to come and take her to the doctor. He will use my father's car, the Ford van, which was in the yard that day. I went to look for Pedro. I didn't find him. Then she told me she would try to find someone, but my father was on his way back for that emergency, so I have to walk a distance to a surgery, and I did have money for a taxi, but there were no taxis. I have to wait longer for them to come. So I decided to just walk, trying to save my mother's life. When I was at the doctor's gate, she called me and said, "I can return. My father will come take her to another doctor." Now, as I was not tired of walking, I took a local taxi and went back home. All the way, I was praying to God to save my mother from those pains she was feeling. After a day, my father came with a sangoma in the house. It was a lesbian sangoma with long nails. He was from Mozambique. That time, my father decided to bring this sangoma. It was when my mother now was not being able to go to the toilet to ease her own self. She would just mess herself in bed. That sangoma got all his herbs with him. I even remember the country leaves which he put inside the bowl with boiling water and took them out hot like that and placed them on my mother's body, and she cried like a child. And they told us to wear our old clothes that we no longer use. And they will also pour us with some dirty water with some herbs, and they dug a hole next to the outside toilet, and we were told to remove those wet old clothes and put them inside that hole and close it back. And this sangoma also dug some little holes near the gate and placed some white and yellow candles inside and closed those holes. Well, he was doing his work as he was done, because they believed my mother was being bewitched. Then few days passed and still nothing. Nothing is getting better. Instead, things are getting more worse. She then started not to talk at all. She will say funny things. Then we assume she was now losing her mind. They took her to the Natal Spread Hospital in Spreadview. They never took care of her, and they did nothing helping her. Instead, they left her unattended, never changed her diapers, and she had black marks on her back that looked like they were using a cane to beat her. Now they changed her to Baragwanath Hospital in Soweto. I remember we went there before Christmas Day. It was my birthday, 19th December 2005. I was turning 15 years. She was better, and we talked even well. We went outside, sit under the trees and green grass there. My father bought us Christmas clothes, and we came with them to show her. She was very happy, and I had a long white jean that I chose for myself when we were buying clothes. My father couldn't be against anything. We were picking. He was just there to pay, and he's a man after all. This was our first time we did Christmas shopping with our father only.
So she shouted, but not angrily, that why I bought a watch chain while I can't even wash my school socks and I don't even know how to take good care of my things. It will be stained easily because I'm clumsy. Sorry for that. I was clumsy. Like when I look myself, oh, I'm so neat. She taught me. I gave her that long face, and my father said to her, no, just leave the child alone. And she emitted to throw it away then. I jumped for it. We all laughed and we eat nice food. My father bought for her and we left her with more lots of food also. Well, we had to go home now. She started to weep and cry. My father told us to go, he's coming. He didn't want us to see her crying. And I remember seeing my brother Pedro, his eyes were glowing, tears too. Yes, that was a very sad moment to leave her in the hospital. It's Christmas holidays. We're supposed to be together as a family, as you used to. Yes, it was so sad, and it was also a big challenge to my father to look after all three children as a man. Better for me, I was 15 years by then, but it was also difficult for me to have to change my younger brother's nappies and bathe him when my father is cooking for us because I didn't know how to cook at that time, and sometimes he will be the one changing nappies and I will wash some dishes and try to clean the house. I would make sure everything was in order as I don't want my mother to come back and shout at us because she didn't like our dirty house. She loved herself. She really liked clean house, clean and very neat. Yeah. The house, you can even tell, like outside the yard, you won't even see a dirty thing lying there or any paper or plastic. Well, there was a time things got worse too. She was then brought back home and hospital can't completely help her. They can't even determine what was killing her. So she came back home for only 2 days. 2 days, my uncle's wife was one changing her diapers and trying to feed her. And my mom, she was so aggressive and so shouting. Then my mother then invited her younger sister, Nosip, Mkiz. She wanted my grandmother to come to see her, but my grandmother refused to come and sent Nozipo to come and see her. My grandmother refused because her other daughter, Nobuhle Mkhize, was having a traditional ceremony where they were like paying lobolas. The groom's family were bringing gifts to the bride's family members. So when I heard about my grandmother's sister-in-law, Buyile Sibiya, who is the wife to my grandmother's brother, Makosavum, she said, my grandmother said she can't go to Johannesburg to see sick people who are not even getting married, but had stayed together for years. So she can't leave her daughter's ceremony here and go there. She better send a child. She is very busy. Well, that was so painful for me to hear. What kind of a mother can do that, choosing to have nice moments with her daughter while the other daughter is in pain, dying and crying to see her for the last time? So well, Nozipo came for only 2 days and she came to me crying that my mother was out of her mind. She told her that she wants to bake some cookies and muffins for her children. Well, that was scary because my mother never liked baking. And I don't even know, she never knew how to bake. She never even baked for us before. My grandmother called and told my father that Nosipho must return before Saturday the 7th, as they are busy at home with Nobuhle's ceremony on members. She is going to get married, so this first ceremony is important to them. Then, well, my father had no word, and who was he to say something after all? My grandmother, she said she never married my mother. My father never married my mother. Nosipho went back home on Thursday. Then my father saw that things are worse now, and no one in my mother's family is willing to help him in this situation. He called his family friends back from home, Amos, an old man that always used to help them and solve their conflicts and fights when they were having. Amos told my father to call my uncle from extended family to come over, and they came to the pond to call my grandmother and tell them that they are bringing back home my mom, as my father is the man. He can't stand all this by himself alone, without being helped by anyone from the blood family. Then one night, on that night, the 7th January 2006, we all called inside the house to pray and ask for safe journey, as they are taking my mother back home to KZN with his sickness. Then after the prayers, my father told me to look after the kids. He will be back soon. But he came with Sister Gina, the lady who was doing our washing, and my mother was still in hospital. Well, that time my mother was in the hospital. So we stayed with her for those few hours at night, not expecting to see my father in so soon, so early. I saw the car coming there by the corner. But I did worry that how come they are back so fast? Well, maybe he was speeding the car or whatever. And then they came out of the car and went inside to my mother's and father's bedroom. And they all got on their knees again and prayed. Oh, well, I was 15 years. I knew something was hitting mortar about my mom. More when they finished praying, my father came out of the bedroom with his both hands on top of his head and looked at us. Half a second, he didn't want to look at us for long, but I saw his eyes were red. I then realized my mother, she's gone. And because he is a man, he calmed down and got brave in our presence and came to us and told us to go with my uncle's wife, Kama Kobane, to their home. And yes, we did. And when we arrived at my uncle's place, Kama Kobane asked us to come over her bedroom. And she started to explain and said, "Pedro and Queen, you saw your mother. She was very sick in front of you. And she never finished. I just stood up and cried. I didn't want her to finish. I was so afraid to hear those last words she was going to say. But she continued still. I don't blame her. My little brothers wouldn't just get it as I did. She was supposed to finish her story. She said, your mother is no longer with us. She passed away at Standerton Hospital on the way as they were taking her home. So her situation became worse on the way, and they had to find a near hospital. That is where she died. She didn't even arrive in Ladysmith. I felt all the world in my shoulders. The earth was like spinning very fast. And I told myself, this is all my imagination. If it's not, it's a dream. I will wake up tomorrow morning and tell this dream to my mom. Anyway, I was not dreaming at all. She was really gone. She left us. Then things go on and arrangements were done in KZN. So we had to go to her funeral and schools were about to open, but we managed to attend the funeral. On the funeral day, we were called to come and see her face for the last time. I went there and saw her sleeping peacefully as if she will wake up and call me to do something or some house chore as usual. But this day, she is not even snoring, not breathing at all, not even sweating. Her nose used to sweat. I wish to give her the last kiss, but I was scared that the elders won't allow me to do so. I wouldn't understand the culture. I then told them goodbye. I told her goodbye and that I love her so much. Well, I think I was playing, being brave on that day because I didn't cry. I felt all my tears were down, were gone, were finished, were dry. Of course, how was I going to cry loud? I was babysitting my younger brother who was only 2 years old and never wanted anyone, but he only wanted my arms. Everywhere I go, he was with me. He will follow me. And with the other brother, we were always together with my father. And he was only 8 years, my younger brother by that time, the second born. It was a sorrowful day, you could see, you know. You can see in all people's eyes who attended this funeral, a mother leaving 3 little children. What a tough time for this young man who is now left to look after all these kids alone. Well, things happen, nothing else than to accept it. Days pass by and you have to go back to school as it was January. I was going to do my grade 9. Sean was at daycare. Petro passed for grade 3. Well, life is life. We have to carry on and live it. Sister Gina continued to look after us. She would clean the house, do our washing and cook for us. I really liked that soul because also she loved us and we gave her all the respect. I didn't want any of us, me and my brothers, to do things that we never did when my mother was still alive. I continued to wash my school shirts and socks. I continued to help her in the kitchen as I would do help my mother if she was still present. I was the one who was responsible for polishing our school shoes. So she never did what was not her duty. I had my duties. In my heart, as a teenager, I wished that my father could just take Sister Gina to be our stepmother. Ah, well, that's all that's business. After 10 days, we were supposed to go back to KZN for cleansing, as my mother has left us. But before that time came, Sister Gina was now only coming for our washing, then out of the southern. Here comes a new woman in the house. I asked myself if is she replacing Sister Gina? And what was wrong with Sister Gina as she was treating us very good and we were very happy and she was very happy too. But I hope to get answers to my questions. Then that night, this new woman came into our house. She even cooked for us and we were all sat down in a lounge and eat. When we just finished eating, my father started to explain to us who this woman was. He just looked at me straight. I don't know, maybe it's because I was the older one. He said, "For that we know that our mother left us,
and we now don't have a mother to look after us. We need a mother who is going to look for us and do our washing. Then my younger brother said, but Sister Jenna does it all. And my father, with a smile, responding to my brother, but not to only him. And he said, yes, but Sister Jenna got a new job very far from us, so she won't be able to help us at all. Now, this is Maria, our new mother. She's the one who's gonna replace your mother in our house. But we must respect her and treat her as our mother. And I have to respond as I see my father was saying all this, looking at me mostly. So I realized that I have to say something. Well, I told my father that we thank God for that and welcome our new mother. And I saw a huge smile as if something was getting off her shoulders. We were all happy, and I knew that my father knows that my brothers will always take my side most of the time. So they will accept when I accept the new mother, they will also accept it. Though I was not very relieved in my heart for that. How come this woman comes so very fast after my mother's funeral? And we haven't yet gone to do the 10 days ritual cleansing. But she's already here. And we then went to KZN for that 10 days ritual. And we left our new mother in the house. But as this was hurting me, I was scared to ask my father about it. I then arrived at home and told my grandmother that we now have a new mother. We left her in the house. But well, I was not the only one talking about that. Even Pedro, my younger brother, did tell them about that. But for him, he was not saying anything wrong. He was saying just to let people at home that we have our new mother, our new helper, not as a stepmother. He didn't understand. They were also not happy at home, but couldn't do anything. Yes, a man can't manage to raise all three children, including a girl. That's me. He was supposed to find a helper, but no ways. That was so soon, very early. People started suspecting Maria that she may be the one responsible for my mother's death. Why is she here so fast, as if she was now celebrating and saying, here comes those days I've been waiting for. But well, no one can do anything about that. Life went on, we stayed with her, and she did love us. She was a friendly and calm young lady. She even told me her age, that she was 28 years old by that time.